Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
We were speaking earlier on with the panel, and one of the things that we were discussing was how it seems like several years since the extraordinary speeches that were made at Davos. But in the world that we live in, it is, of course, but a couple of days. Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, effectively saying that middle states, that those who are not superpowers but are middle powers, need to coalesce and make sure that by virtue of independent security and independent economies, they are able not to be bullied by superpowers. And of course, reading between the lines, the entire world decided that the superpower that he was referring to was the US. Meanwhile, the US president and members of the administration castigated Europe to the extent that at one dinner, the IMF chief, Christine Lagarde, walked out because of the kind of language that was being used. It is a nadir in cross Atlantic relationships. There's no other way to look at it. As to what happens next, there is a lot of speculation and suggestion and no clear path. With us is Simon Coveney, former Taoiseach, the Minister for Enterprise, Minister for Defence, Deputy Leader of Fine Gael, and of course, post politics, has spent a lot of time looking at issues of security and European relations. Before we get to where we're going and the implications, Simon, can you give me your reaction to the speeches, both what Mark Carney had to say and what the members of the US administration had to say at Davos?
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning, Anton. Thanks for having me on, and good luck with your new projects in the weeks ahead. From a radio perspective, but look, I'm really pleased to be on. I mean, I think what we saw in Davos, and actually in the weeks building up to Davos, is a change moment, actually, in terms of the positioning of Europe in the context of the transatlantic relationship. In many ways, 2025 was about the containment, really, of the relationship between the United States and the EU. It was about trying to prevent escalation of tension after the US on Liberation Day, as they call it, announced a whole series of tariffs. And then it was also, you know, a pretty poor deal from a trade perspective that the European Union felt they needed to make last summer with President Trump in the context of accepting 15% tariffs on most and all goods that were being sold from the European Union into the US. So I think 2025 was about trying to prevent an escalation. It was about containment, managing the relationship, although knowing that that the European Union wasn't doing particularly well out of the negotiated outcomes on tariffs and so on. I think 2026 will be very different. I think the European Union now is in the frame of mind that effectively says, you know, we can no longer just acquiesce or accept a direction of travel that the US is trying to take us in, which is really changing very fundamentally how the world, and in particular the Western world, relates to each other, where powerful states dominate their sphere of influence, their regions in the world, where international law doesn't really matter, where multilateralism is set aside, and in many cases deliberately undermined. And so, you know, if you look at, for example, the speech of President Steinmeier, who's the German president now, he talked about the United States being broken with the values that it helped to establish. He talked about, you know, the lack of respect for international law and the erosion of the international order. And he went beyond that to say, you know, today the aim has to be prevent the world turning into a den of thieves, where the most unscrupulous take what they want, where regions and entire countries are treated as property rather than powers, and where even medium-sized states, such as ours, he was talking about Germany, are being pushed to the margins of history and where smaller and weaker states are left completely unprotected. And, you know, that kind of language from a German president, I think, you know, is really quite extraordinary, given the importance of the relationship from a transatlantic point of view. And then if you look at what President Macron said, even last week, talking about refusing to be intimidated by coercion in the context of Greenland and so on. And then on top of that, of course, Mark Carney, you know, his speech is getting an awful lot of media coverage since Davos. And, you know, anyone who's interested in geopolitics should take the time to listen to Mark Carney's speech. It's available all over the internet and social media platforms. But, you know, he does talk about the need for middle powers to actually, you know, to coalesce, and the countries that actually care about you know, the moral direction, if you like, that the world is taking in terms of international law, and the ability of small and medium-sized countries to have a say and to be protected by international law and charters that have been there since the Second World War. So we're seeing for the first time, I think.
Okay. I do want to ask one thing in respect to that. To paraphrase some of what Mark Carney said, one of the things that he said effectively was that we have lived in a world where interdependencies have been fostered. And he said that once you get to the point that your interdependencies become the source of your subjugation, well, you can't continue down that path. Now, if you look at the interdependencies that Europe has with the US, whether it be our credit card systems, whether it be tech, whether it be big pharma, whether it be economic trade, have we got the capacity to untangle those interdependencies in any real way?
Not easily is the straight answer to that. And we shouldn't try to untangle everything. I mean, you know, the US is still a hugely important partner for Europe as a continent, for the European Union as a union, and in particular for Ireland as both an economy and a society. You know, and our relationship with the US is something that we shouldn't look to break. You know, but at the same time, the policy direction coming from the White House today is one that is fundamentally not in the medium-term interest of Ireland or the European Union, where essentially what the US says goes, and if you try to resist it or question it, you get targeted with, you know, with tariffs or some other form of potential threat. Like, that is not the way the world should operate. And, you know, the United States, of all countries, has created since the Second World War an alliance across the world where large and small countries can have a say and are protected by international law and a rules-based order and a, you know, and a multilateralism which is far from perfect in the context of the UN and the WTO and lots of other organizations that allow small countries to be able to trade with international protections. It's far from a perfect system, but it has been the source of the creation of an awful lot of wealth and globalization that has been positive for countries like Ireland. And we, you know, we are seeing the, in some ways, the, you know, the targeted and deliberate dismantling of that way of life in many ways that we've thrived on the back of. And so I think we have to find a way of questioning that, of trying to pause for thought the United States in terms of, you know, what they're pursuing at the moment from a policy point of view. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that Europe or Ireland should look to cut themselves off from the United States. Quite the opposite. We need to engage robustly. Micheál Martin's been very strong on this in terms of the need to constantly engage, as has Simon Harris. But at the same time, if you just keep your head down and you remain silent, in the hope that actually you stay out of trouble and continue to trade and make money without being targeted, you are essentially complicit then in allowing the world move in a direction of travel that that I think is very corrosive for international relationships, makes the world a much more dangerous place. And of course, it moves towards a might is right philosophy, which, you know, is summed up by, you know, Stephen Miller, who's one of the closest advisors to President Trump, and he talks about the iron laws of the world since the beginning of time being about, you know, strength, power, and force. And, you know, if we move back to a world that's dominated by strength, power, and force, you know, where do countries like Ireland or how do countries like Ireland, you know, operate and influence decisions globally? So I think, you know, I think Mark Carney's call for middle powers, which, you know, sounds like something almost far-fetched to actually work together is important. And that is happening, actually. The European Union is looking to diversify now away from an over-reliance on the United States. That's why we're seeing, you know, a move towards a new trade agreement with Mercosur, with India. There'll probably be trade negotiations back on the table with Australia. There'll probably be a new trade agreement with the UAE by the middle of this year. So, you know, the European Union is quietly but actively looking to build a much more diverse trade relationship across the world, because they're concerned about the deteriorating relationship and less predictable relationship with the transatlantic partnership. And, you know, that's worrying. I mean, from an Irish point of view, I wish it weren't that way, because our, you know, our historic relationship and our current relationship with the United States is so important. You know, we export in the, you know, from a pharmaceutical point of view alone, about 44 billion euros worth of pharmaceutical product each year, which is largely US companies selling to US companies. But even so, it's a huge part of the Irish economy. So for us, our relationship with the United States is incredibly important. But we've also got to recognize that the world is changing around us, and a lot of the policy that's coming from the White House today, in terms of its direction of travel, in terms of the kind of world that it's looking to create, which is very, very different to what most Irish people are used to, is something that we do need to speak out honestly on and work with other countries around the world that share our concerns. Now, most of them will be in Europe, but also countries like Canada as well.
When I look at, sort of take a layman's cut at what are the challenges facing Europe, one of them obviously is that the deals that we do and the trade relationships broader than the US. But it strikes me as well, there's big challenges in terms of corporate innovation, IPOs, entrepreneurship, all that was in the Draghi report and has yet to apparently have much in the way of significant action on it. There's the tightening of interrelationships across the European member states and with fellow travellers like the UK. And there is, of course, the ramping up of Europe's capacity to maintain its own security and defence. You said we were working quietly and effectively, and the EU was working quietly, effectively and effectively on the trade deal element of that list. What of the other stuff?
Yeah, well, I think certainly on the security and defence side, I mean, look, take Ireland out of the discussion for a second. I'll talk about Ireland's response in a sec, because I think Ireland has very significant work to do in that space. But the rest of Europe has committed to dramatically increase the focus and the expenditure and the priority from a policy point of view on security and defence. And that's not necessarily sort of war-going capacity, although there is some of that given the fears that we've seen linked to the war in Ukraine and the potential threat of Russia, particularly to countries in the eastern borders of the European Union. And that sounds a little bit far-fetched when you live here in Ireland, quite a long way away from that eastern border of the EU. But believe me, if you go to Poland, to Estonia, to Latvia, to Lithuania, to Finland, to Sweden, you know, you'll get your answer in terms of how people feel and the fear that they have linked to Russian aggression. And so that is driving a dramatic increase and change of priority towards resilience, defence. And that's about, you know, protecting pipelines and undersea cables as much as it is, you know, missile defense systems and so on. And, you know, I think it is important that Ireland is certainly in sync with that concern and mentality from a solidarity point of view within the European Union. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Ireland does need to do a lot more from a security and defence perspective. And that is starting to happen now. You know, both the Taoiseach and Tánaiste have spoken very firmly on this. The Department of Defence in Ireland is working overtime now to actually look at building the infrastructure we need to be able to protect our data centres, our undersea cables that are, you know, transatlantic, you know, veins of economic activity, if you like.
And do you believe there is a real threat or risk to them? Because whenever it gets discussed, people, you will get a reaction that says, ah, that's conspiracy theorist stuff.
Look, I mean, you know, all I can do is give my, you know, I don't have any political agenda here. You know, like I'm not in politics anymore, but I do know quite a lot about defence policy, having been a defence minister twice. This is a real threat. Okay. Ireland faces cyber attacks every single week, most of which you'll never hear about and never read about. We are, you know, if you look at the Baltic Sea at the moment, we have seen multiple examples of ships that have, in inverted commas, by mistake, dropped anchors on, you know, undersea cables. And you know, 70% of the transatlantic cables that facilitate trade between North America and Europe come through Irish maritime sovereign territory. And we have an obligation there to at least put basic security systems and observation systems in place to make sure that we're not targeted in an effort to try to get at US companies or US trade or transatlantic trade. So whether Ireland likes it or not, you know, Ireland itself mightn't be a target. But actually the infrastructure that we're responsible for or the data centers that we host may well be the target in the future. And, you know, if some of the largest companies in the world are going to continue to invest in Ireland, they will want to know that the state is taking the appropriate resilience measures, if you like, to provide basic levels of protection, both onshore and offshore and indeed in our skies, to make sure that we know what's going on and we can respond should there be an emergency. Because like these things are already happening. You know, when President Zelensky came to Ireland, you know, we had a very uncomfortable drone intervention that, you know, has rightly been questioned since then. We're about to hold the European presidency for the second half of this year for 6 months. I don't want to see Ireland embarrassed on a security incident that we aren't able to manage properly. So, you know, I think there is a recognition that what Ireland spends on security and defence, not in terms of our capacity to go to war, but in terms of our capacity to protect core infrastructure that is, you know, hugely important for Ireland's credibility internationally and for the functioning of our economy, needs to be much, much more comprehensive than it is today. And that probably means trebling or quadrupling what Ireland spends in terms of defence and security budgets each year. And even if we were to do that, we'd still be one of the lowest spending in Europe. What I'm not talking about is building war-going capacity for Ireland. But what I am saying is that Ireland needs to put in place a resilience, if you like, in terms of what we're seeing in the world today, which is a much more volatile, much more dangerous environment where cybersecurity threats, hybrid warfare, threats to infrastructure, they're the kind of things that Ireland needs to guard against. We need to cooperate internationally with our neighbours and friends and other European partners to make sure that we contribute to the collective security of the European Union and our single market and indeed our closest neighbours with the UK. But we've also got to put our own capacity in place. And that's going to take a decade, let's be honest. And so in the meantime, that international cooperation during the Irish presidency and beyond is very, very important. So look, you know, I don't want to overemphasize the security issue, but it is central now to being a credible part of the European Union. You know, like if you listen to the State of the Union address that President von der Leyen would have made a few months ago versus the speech she would have been making 3 or 4 years ago. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, she would have been talking about Europe being a world leader in terms of the green economy, decarbonization, climate change, protecting ecosystems, looking at issues, you know, issues like gender equality, equality of pay, societal well-being, all really important things. A few months ago, her speech was centered around Europe needing to fight for its survival in a volatile world. You know, like it is a very, it's a very, very stark change in terms of, and it's an enforced change on the European Union. Okay. And so, you know, the way of life that we take for granted, the extraordinary economic growth that we've seen that's linked to international trade in Ireland over the last number of decades needs to be protected by Ireland realizing what's happening around us in terms of a changing world and indeed changing alliances within that. And so we need to look at how we work within the European Union to remain credible, how we protect our economy, and how we ensure that the kind of resilience that's needed in this new volatility is in place in Ireland. And a lot of that is happening, by the way, but it needs to continue.
Simon, I really appreciate your time. That is Simon Coveney, former Taoiseach, Minister for Enterprise, and of course, twice Minister for Defence.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.